Turn back to Joshua chapter 24. We bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ there at Wheelersburg. Last Sunday, Brother Greg Elmquist brought the Sunday morning message to close our meeting, and he told a story. He said he was anxious to get back to Florida and tell our brothers and sisters in Christ there about the meeting and how encouraged that he was that the Lord was being gracious in this part of the country. And he told a story. He said his father was the baby of 12 children. And he said that was during the Depression. And he said when Greg Elmquist's grandfather died, his father was 2 years old and he was the baby of 12 children. Can you imagine? And the mother, Greg's grandmother, had to give away 11 children and kept only Greg and raised only Greg, and said after Greg grew up and married, or after he grew up, and said his family moved to California. His father took the family. Greg was about 15 years old, and said they went to California, and Greg's father ran into one of his brothers, met him for the first time, and he said it was just an instant bond, just instant fellowship, just instant love for one another. And that's what we experience here this morning. I've known, me and Sandy were sitting there talking before the service. Cecil, we were kids, like these little ones here. I've known Cecil all my life. I've known Sandy all my life. I remember when Tara was born, and Sean, and Judy, and Andrea. Their parents was our neighbors. I've known them all my life. And many of you, not near that long. Me and Gary Faulkner here, we hired in at the mill together. Almost 50 years ago, we worked together, and Gary was smarter than the rest of us. He found something else to do and left. I stayed there, you know. Me and Cecil stayed there 40 years, you know. But I'd look out here. There's not a stranger in the crowd. I know every one of you. Known you years and years and years. And that's what's going on here in Joshua chapter 24. If you'll look up here in Joshua 23 and in verse 14, just right above where we are, and Joshua says, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." Joshua's getting ready to leave. The Lord is going to remove Joshua from among these brethren that he's known all his life. These are friends. These are neighbors. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. These are family. And Joshua's going to be removed. This day, he said, "I'm going the way of all the earth." And this is his last message to these people. These people that he dearly loves, these people that he's known for so many years. And he takes these people back. He takes them on a 500-year journey. Here just in 15 verses, he takes them on a 500-year journey and tells them where they came from, what God Almighty has done for them and to them and in them. And I thought that'd be good. That'd be good. Down here in verse 15, this is the text that will spring from throughout this message. "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." And one of these days, it'll be the last time. It'll be the last time that we speak one to another. It'll be the last time that there'll be a message delivered. It always happens. It always happens. There comes a time, no matter how much that the people love one another, there's going to be a time when it's going to be the last time that we speak to one another. And then we're going to be removed. And Joshua calls all the people, the whole nation of Israel, and he's going to be removed this day. He's going to go the way of all the earth. He's going to be removed to his long home. He's going to go and be with his Lord. And he calls the people together, these that he's known and loved for many years. And he called them together at this place called Shechem. And verse 2, "And Joshua said unto all the people." And this is where we always begin. This is where we speak of, and this is where we close. "Thus saith the Lord." We've got to have this authority. We've got to back up everything we say by this Word of God. This that never changed. This that He's preserved and given to His people throughout all the generations. If we speak not according to God's Word, then don't listen to Him. And here Joshua speaking to these people that he's known all these years, and he's getting ready to leave, and he said, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. That word flood, that word appears 120 times in the Old Testament. And 98 times it's translated river. Here, it's not got anything to do with the great deluge. It's got not anything to do with the great flood when God purged this earth of all that. This is that great river Euphrates. And Joshua was saying to these people, these brothers and sisters in Christ, these that he loved and these where he was getting ready to leave and not see him again. He said, I'm going to take you back to where you came from on the other side of that river Euphrates. Down there in that land called Ur of the Chaldees, an idolatrous place, a heathen place, a place that worshiped false gods and idols. And that's where we came from. That's where we came from. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. They served other gods. That's where we came from. We came from the same place that all mankind comes from. Fallen, sinful, wretched, without God, without hope, without Christ in this world. That's where we came from. And that's where all comes from. But Joshua says, that's where you came from. But God didn't leave us there. He called our father Abraham. You see that, verse 3? And he said, I took your father Abraham. All of these people that Joshua is talking to, all of them could trace their lineage right back to Abraham. All of them could trace him right back to this man that was an idolater. Abraham was no different than anyone else down there. Abraham, he worshipped idols. He was an idolater. He was a godless man. He didn't know God. But God said, I appeared to him. I went down there to him. And we can all say amen to that. And if he didn't, we'd still remain down there in Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I went down there to him. And I spoke to him. And I said, Abram, get thee out of this place. Get thee out of thy father's house and go to a place I'll show you. He said, I took your father from the other side of the flood and I led him throughout all the land of Canaan. You remember that? Abraham believed God. Abraham followed God. Abraham left his father and him and his wife. They followed God and God led him up to this land of Canaan. And they walked through that land of Canaan. And when they got there, after this promise to Abraham, go to a place I'll show you, a place flowing with milk and honey. You've never seen anything like it. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to your seed forever. And Abraham and his wife followed God and they come up there and they walked through the land. And there was a famine in the land. And they walked right on through the land and they went down into Egypt. And they were down there. And you know that story. You remember that story about how God preserved them. Abraham was afraid because his wife Sarah was so beautiful. He told those men down there, she's my sister. But God protected them. God had his hand on them. And he judged those people and delivered Abraham and Sarah. And they came back up into the land of Canaan. And God said, walk through this land now. Walk through it. Look through the length and breadth of it. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. All this am I going to give you. I'm going to give it to you. God said, your father Abraham was an idolater. And I took him. I called him. I amazingly and miraculously called him out of that land and brought him up here. And he followed me. And I led him up here to this land of Canaan. And I gave him Isaac. Abraham's an old man. His wife, Sarah, she's an old woman. Abraham's 100 years old. Hadn't had a child. Not a natural child. Sarah was 90 years old. And God, in an amazing and a miraculous way, gave them that son, Isaac. That promised son. He said, is this Eleazar, this steward in my house, is this heir of all? God said, no, this is not the heir. I'm going to give you a son. I promised it, and I'm going to give you a son. And God did. He fulfilled that promise and gave him Isaac when he was an old man. Sarah lived another 37 years. Abraham lived another 75 years after they were old, old, old people when they had this son. Gave him Isaac in that amazing and a miraculous way. Verse 4, and I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, twin boys born to that son of Isaac. Twin boys born. And he said, I gave unto Esau Mount Seir. I separated those boys. You remember that? God said before those boys were born, he said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And he separated Esau from this one that God loved, this one that the promise would come through, this one that the Christ would come through, this one that the nation would spring from. He separated he separated Esau. He moved him away from Jacob. And he gave Jacob that promised land. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. This is a... And all this time through this, remember this, remember this. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Choose you this day. As he talks about Abraham, the God of Abraham that called him and brought him out of that land of Ur of the Chaldees where there was those false gods down there. Those false gods couldn't keep Abraham from leaving. Those false gods couldn't keep God from bringing Abraham out. And the argument through all this, Joshua was saying, choose you this day who you'll serve. Who do you believe in? Who do you trust in? Who's your hope in? The God of this world or God who does all things according to His own power and purpose and will and according to His sovereignty? Choose you this day. And He gave him to Isaac after they come up in there to the promised land. He gave him Isaac. And then He gave Isaac Jacob and Esau. And then that whole nation, after nearly 200 years, and there was only 70 of them, and there was a famine in all the land. And you remember all that that took place. That bride that Jacob loved and went down there and served Laban for those years, for Rachel. And then Laban tricked him and deceived him and gave him Leah, the older girl. Well, through them marriages, through them unions, the nation of Israel sprang. Those 12 children that was born, 13 children, there was a girl born, but those 12 patriarchs that was born to Jacob and those two wives and those two concubines. After many, many, many years later, they sold Joseph into slavery and he went down and ended up down there in Egypt. And then this whole nation, there's only 70 of them. After 150 years, there's only 70 that consisted of the whole nation. And they went down into Egypt. They went down into Egypt. And they were down there for a number of years. And he said, I sent Moses. After a number of years, after over 200 years being down there in servitude and slavery and bondage, God said, I sent Moses. You remember that? Moses was raised. He was one of those children that was to be exterminated. Pharaoh, because of the prosperity of the people, God blessed those people of Israel down there in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh hated that. And he said, when those sons are born, he said, you take them out there and drown them in the river. You take them out there and throw them into the river. Well, this is the time that Moses was born. And Moses' mother hid him for 3 months because she saw that he was a proper child. And he was raised up. You remember that story, how the Pharaoh's daughter found him floating there in the river and raised him up as her own son. And when he was 40 years of age, he went out there and seen one of those Egyptians persecuting one of his brethren. And he slew that Egyptian. And he fled for his life and went into the backside of the desert there in Midian. And he was there for 40 more years. Now Moses is a man 80 years old. And he was out one day and he saw a bush that was burning that wasn't consumed by fire. And he went up to that bush and God spoke to him out of that burning bush. He said, take off your shoes, off your feet. This is holy ground. And he said, I'm going to send you down there. I've heard the cry of my people. I'm going to send you down there. I'm going to do that. I'm going to send you down to Egypt to deliver my people. Go down there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses went down there. God did that. And Moses went right into the courtroom of the mightiest ruler on the face of the earth and walked right up to him and said, God said, let my people go. And he wouldn't let them go. You know that story. And God plagued those people. They had gods all over the land of Egypt. They had gods everywhere. Statues and idols that they worshipped everywhere. And not a one of them. And that's what Joshua was saying here. God plagued them people. And not a one of those gods of the Egyptians could protect them against God Almighty. And he said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You want to serve one of them gods like your father Abraham worshipped over there on the other side of the flood? Or are you going to serve the true and living God? I'm leaving. And this is my last message to you. I've got something to tell you and to warn you of. Until you follow God, you follow after Him, cling to Him and trust in Him. Rely on Him. He's the only true God. He's the only sovereign God. He does what He will. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Verse 5, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt and you came into the Red Sea. I brought your fathers out and those gods of Egypt couldn't keep me from it. There's none that can resist me. There's none that can stand against me. I'll do what I will. In the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, I'm God. I choose you this day whom you'll follow. He said that I brought them out and I brought them to the Red Sea. Brought your fathers out and you came to the sea and the Egyptians pursued after you. After your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. Can you imagine this? This is these people. They didn't have nothing. They didn't have, as we used to say when I was a kid, they didn't even have so much as a gum sling to defend themselves with. They didn't have nothing but pick up rocks and throw at the mightiest army on the face of the earth. And there they are, hemmed in, right there at the edge of the Red Sea. And they look, and here's this army. The finest army in the world at that time, like ours is now. And here they were, riding down on them. And they prayed to God. They told Moses, said, go to God for us. And Moses prayed to God. And he told those people, don't be afraid. You stand still. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. These you see this day, you'll never see them again, ever, ever again. And God opened up that Red Sea, put a pillar of darkness between the chosen people, His people, God's people. Put a pillar, a cloud of darkness. It was dark on the other side, and it was light on this side where the Israelites were. And we have the light of Christ. He's given it to us. He's visited us with the light of the gospel. We see Christ, and the world's in darkness. The whole world's in darkness. And the gods of this world can't do anything to change that. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Choose you this day. And I brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt. Your eyes have seen it. This was 60 years after this. This Joshua now, this is his last day. And he's leaving. He's leaving the people. And he's giving them this final message. He's giving us this final warning, this final word of encouragement. He's presenting this argument of, this is our God. There's nobody like Him. You've never seen anything like Him. Now you choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And this is 60 days after this incident that took place at the Red Sea. 60 years. 60 years later. And He said, your eyes have seen it, what I've done. All these people that was there, that was under the age of 20, all these men that were under the age of 20 were now still alive here and in this crowd that Joshua was talking to. Anybody between the age of 60 and 80 that was there in that crowd, they seen just what Joshua was talking about. He said, your eyes seen it. Your eyes seen it. He said, I was there. I saw it. You remember that? You remember what God did? Did you ever see anything like it? Can your imagination even fathom something like it? Here stood this Red Sea, stood up in a heap on either side. And it was dry all the way, and they walked through on dry ground. This is our God. This is our God. He protects us and defends us and leads us and guides us and directs us. And then he goes on here, and he says, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Joshua and Brother John, I think he covered that so well about how it is that we're to deal with our brothers and sisters. Right here, they came through the Red Sea and they went to the edge of the Promised Land. And Moses picked out men out of every tribe. You remember that? 12 men. And he sent them into the Promised Land to spy out the land. And them men come back. There was giants in that land. And there was warring people. There were 7 nations of people, all of them mightier than the Israelites. And they come back with that report. And those 10 of those men said, well, we can't whip them people. Said, there's big fellas over there. You ain't never seen any people big as these people that's over there. And said, they know how to fight. They got weapons. They got armies. They got shields and bucklers and helmets and spears and bows and arrows. Said, we don't have anything. We can't go over there. Let's don't go. And Joshua and Caleb, they stood up and said, wait a minute. What do you mean we can't go? God said He's given it into our hands. God said, God has brought us out of Egypt with a strong arm. God that slew the firstborn in Egypt and preserved us and delivered us and told us to slay that lamb which pictured the Christ that will come and put that blood on the doorpost and said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And we were all delivered and spared and we come out of Egypt, came to the Red Sea. He delivered us there again, drowned that army of the Egyptians. What do you mean we can't? What do you mean we can't go? This was Joshua. He don't even bring it up. He don't even bring it up to his. This is his brother, and he's leaving them. This is the last thing he's going to have to say to them. And he just leaps over it. They all knew what happened. They were all there. They were all there. They were all witness to it, and they all said, "No, we won't go. We won't go. Those people are too strong for us. God's not able to deliver us out of their hand. They all stood there. And all Joshua says is, you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And that's all he says about it. He could have blistered them. I mean, he could have wore them out. He could have said, I told you people, I was one of them. Me and Caleb was the only two. We told you that God would deliver us. No, you wouldn't do it. So we went into the wilderness. Had to go into the wilderness because of your obstinance, because of your unbelief. He didn't do that. He said, we dwelt in the wilderness a long time. Love covers all ills and ilks and ugliness. Love covers that. He loved these people. He's leaving these people. Verse 8, and he said, I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side of Jordan. They fought with you. I gave them into your hand. And it's always that way. It's always that way when we deal with the world. God brings us, He leads us, He preserves us and defends us. They fight against it, they kick against it. They hate the gospel. The world hates the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, hates grace. The world hates it. But He said, I've delivered them. I've delivered them all into your hands. I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, he arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam. He called Balaam and said, go curse those people. God said, they're not going to curse. I'm going to curse my people. God wouldn't give him permission to curse them. He said, you're going to bless them. Bless my people. Bless my people. Choose you this day. Who you going to serve? You're going to serve the God of those people, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites. You're going to serve their gods who couldn't do anything? Had to ask permission of me to even curse you, and I wouldn't give my permission, and I said, bless them. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve their gods who can't do anything? You're going to serve God, the true and living God. Verse 11. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho. Now listen, this is 20 years after Jericho. This is 20 years later. I thought, what happened 20 years ago? I think, in 1989, 20 years ago, which would be starting here in another month, the World Series started in San Francisco. And the day of the World Series, the day of the opening game, I believe I'm telling this right, the day of the opening game of the World Series, God reached in and shook that place. You remember that? And they covered it all over television, covered it for days. He just shook that place and brought that place to its knees. I mean, roads and bridges and highways and fires and streets. He just shook that place. That's 20 years ago. I can't believe it. I got to thinking back what happened 20 years ago, and I recalled that. I can't believe it's been 20 years. It's just time goes by so quickly. This is just 20 years after this. That's what he's talking about here. When they went to Jericho, you remember that? They sent them spies over there. They went into the house. Two of those spies went into the house of Rahab. Rahab hid them because she had heard about what God did at the Red Sea 40 years prior. And she hid those spies and she let them down by that scarlet thread. That scarlet thread all through the Old Testament points to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. She let them down, held that scarlet thread in her window, and they went down. And they're down there on the ground. She said, be merciful to me. And they said, don't you tell anybody. And when we come, you gather all the people that you love, all your people, and you bring them into that room right there where you are, where the scarlet thread hangs out of the window. And when we see that scarlet thread, we'll spare your life. And Rahab did that. This is 20 years later. God come barged through and destroyed that mightiest city in that part of the world, Jericho. And now 20 years later, he's saying, you remember that? Rahab's still here. It was just 20 years ago. Go ask Rahab. Her husband, Salmon, maybe Boaz was already born. I don't know. Go ask these people. You saw what he did. You saw what he did. These people that we defeated, all of them, they're at Jericho. And he gives a whole list of them, all seven of them. They all had gods. They all had gods that they prayed to and worshiped to, and statues and idols. And he said, God come marching through. And he said, they just blew a trumpet and the walls came tumbling down. And said they were vanquished. They were vanquished. They were utterly defeated. Choose you this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Their gods, like your father Abraham served on the other side of the flood, or God Almighty, who does what He will, whenever He will. You went over Jordan, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you. Does this surprise anybody? Does this surprise anybody that God can do this? There's nothing. Have you ever been out doing something just unsuspecting, just out mowing the grass or taking a walk in the woods or just sitting on the porch and all of a sudden you get into a place where them wasps come out and they're all over you. They're just all over you. Right now, they're all over you. I don't know what this is here. I really don't know what, and I've not read anybody that does know what it is. But I just believe it's just what it says it is. I believe God sent swarms and swarms of these things to vanquish His enemy. There's nothing too difficult for our God. And He said here, I sent the hornet and I drove them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. And you didn't even have to pull your sword. You didn't have to even bring out your bows and arrows to fight. I did that. I did that with my power. I did that with my absolute omnipotent power over everything I've created. Everything I've created is at my beck and call, whatever I determine for it to do. And I think there's much comfort here. Think about that. He used this that He'd created. He'd used this to defend His people, to protect His people, to deliver His people. And God don't change. He does it in our day. He does it continually in our day, and we're not even aware of it. So much deliverance from our God that we're not even aware of it. We don't even know what to be thankful for. He sends these things, and He does what He will with this part of His creation. And verse 13, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them." There's no labor here for these people. These people, they brought nothing, they had nothing. And God delivered all these people into the hands and removed them from the promised land. And these people walked in and they took possession of everything that God had determined for them to have. These people had been there. These godless heathen people had been there. They'd been gardening and farming for years and years and years. They'd built cities and built homes and roads and had ways to water their crops and bring water into their homes and all that. And they didn't even know it all that time. All that 400 years. That God's people was down there in Egypt. They was doing that for God's people. And they didn't even know it. They didn't even know. They was working sun up to sundown. And they was making all this beauty and homes and villages and all that. And God's people came in and they took possession of it. Is that a beautiful picture of our Lord? We don't work. We don't strive. We don't labor. Our Lord has done it all. He has done it all and He's purchased all. And He gives it all to us freely. Just come on in and take it. Just come on in and sit down and enter into my rest. Just come in and sit down. You don't need to. Don't bring your works. Don't bring that you've done. Don't bring anything. You believe me? Take my hand. Come, take my hand. And walk through this land with me that I've provided for you and given to you. Well, that's what Joshua was saying here. Now you choose this day. Who you going to serve? You're going to serve the gods that couldn't do anything to protect all those gods of those seven nations when God marched in and said, "It's time to give it up. It's time to give it up for my chosen people." And they ran away and fled and was defeated. And their gods couldn't do anything to help them. But our God marched in victorious, and He always does. And He said, "Choose you this day. Choose you this day." Verse 14, He said, "Now therefore, from all this argument, over 500 years, over 500 years. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord." We can't even... I sit down and I just tried to think back in my 64 years. Just tried to think back of those times in my life. I should have died. I should have been killed. A bunch of us kids went to the county fair way back there. I was just 15 years old. You remember the Gillenwater boys, Ray and P.D. and John Gillenwater. John just turned 16 and had a learner's permit. And his dad had a brand new 1960 Ford. And we took our, all of us was in the 4-H and was going to the county fair. Route 52 up here along South Point had just been built. And John had his older brother-in-law. He was an old guy. He was about 25. He had to sit beside him in the front seat. We was going up through there and running about 50, 60 miles an hour. And we hit a rain just like that, like you run into a wall. We hit rain. And John was driving a pretty good clip in that old Ford hydroplane. And John was all over the road. There was eight of us in that car, eight of us kids. And the oldest one was 25, and John was driving his 16. And we slid sideways out of the road, and there was a big culvert. It must have been 8 foot in diameter, huge big culvert down under the road there. And that old Ford slid out of the road sideways, and we hit that culvert and run out that culvert sideways and flew out. It seemed like we was in the air for 5 minutes. And we just, all of us, I'll never forget that feeling. It's the craziest thing ever was. One of us had had rabbits. We took a rabbit project we was taking up. We had a cage full of rabbits in the trunk of the car. And we finally hit, boom. And we all thought, I did, this is it. We're going to start rolling. We're going to roll until we're all dead. And that old Ford just hit and slid for 200 foot up through there in the mud and come to a stop. None of us had sense enough to even be scared. And we jumped out laughing, and them rabbits, that cage had popped open, and rabbits was running everywhere. And we was chasing them. We was having a big time, you know. And I think, God does that all my life. He's done that all my life for me. And you too. And your children and your little ones. And we don't even know it. We don't even have sense enough to fall down and say, thank God. Thank God. Spurgeon told a story about a father and a son who was out riding on horseback. They was galloping along. They'd been out all day. And they come back in that night. And that boy said to his dad, he said, Father, he said, I remember three times in particular where God spared me today. And he said, how's that, son? He said, my horse was going across rocky ground. And he said, my horse stumbled three times. Any one of those times, he said, I could have been thrown from that horse. And he said, I could have dashed my head against one of them rocks and been killed. He said, God spared me three times that I'm aware of. And the father looked at his son and he said, God spared me today too, son. And the boy looked at his dad and he said, well, what happened? What happened to you, Dad? And he said, nothing. Absolutely nothing. God just spared me. Just spared me. Well, that's what Joshua's saying here. He's taking them back over this whole 500 years. And he said, look what God's done. Look at our great God and Savior. Look what He's done. And He's given us all through that period of time. He's given us pictures of the Christ that will come. He's given us sacrifices. Every drop of that blood that was shed on those altars points to the coming Messiah who will take away our sin and give us a perfect standing before God Almighty. When we was in that wilderness for 40 years, Moses took that rock, took that rod and smote that rock, and that water followed us for 40 years. We didn't have to plant anything. We didn't have to buy any food. Our clothes never wore out. Our shoes never wore out. And we went out every morning, and there was that manna on the ground. God provided for us. He said in verse 15, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He gets that in. You see that? They couldn't protect that land. It's their God's land. They were no match for God in whose land you dwell. God brought you in and took it over. But he says here, but as for me and my house, isn't this a great statement? And I'm telling you, there comes a God's blessed us. God's blessed us here in this place. And we see these little ones here. Gosh, He's just continued to bless us with little ones. But I'm telling you, God's made us stewards over those little ones. And Joshua's saying here, as long as I've got something to say about it, and as long as they'll listen to me, which there'll come a time when they won't. We know that. But as long as they will, me and my house, these that I can tell them and I can instruct them. And they still have a regard for me and a respect for me, and they'll do what I tell them. He said, I'm going to tell them the truth. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve the Lord. And there comes with that a great obligation and a responsibility to stand for the gospel and to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an old story. This goes way back there. This is a 3,000-year-old story. How pertinent is it in our day? What do we get from this here in our day? It's a whole new day, you know. New way, new day. We're in the, 2000s now. How's this pertinent to us in our day? I think it was Richard Baxter. I'm not sure, but it was one of those old writers. He said this. He said, I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as a dying man to dying men. It may be this will be the last time you'll ever see me. It may be that you've heard the last message from your pastor. It may be that God will be pleased to remove these men that we've grown to love over the years. It may be. There's going to come a time. There'll be a time when the last message is preached. There'll be a time when God's going to send His ambassador and preach the last message. And I thought this would be a very pertinent message. Choose you this day. Choose you this in our day. In our day. 3,500 years subsequent to when Joshua penned this. In our day, religion is a lie. The gospel plainly says, salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of God planned it. God purposed it. God accomplished it. He brings it to pass. And He makes it effectual on those that He loved. And they will persevere. In our day, I'd say you choose you this day. This may be the last thing you hear from me. And I'd warn you and encourage you. You choose this day whom you'll serve. Is man a sinner? Is man a complete, lost, helpless, hopeless, undone creature? Back in the garden when God said, Adam, don't eat of the fruit that's on the tree in the midst of the garden. For if you eat of it, you're going to die. And Adam took that fruit. And he ate of that. Adam didn't physically die. Adam lived 930 years. But he spiritually died. Are we sinners? Are we sinners? Isaiah said, from the sole of the foot all the way to the top of the head, there's no sound that's in us but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's what God sees. That's what God sees. You believe that? Do you believe that of yourself? Do you believe that like that demoniac there when our Lord Jesus Christ, He was here on the earth and He was in His public ministry? He went over there to the land of the Gadarenes. Did you ever try to paint a word picture of what that feller looked like? You can't do it. You've never seen anything like Him. He's ugly and awful, unkempt, ragged, naked, cuts Himself, bleeding all over, and He's crazy out of His mind. That's what God sees when He sees us. Do you own that to be us in our natural condition? Do you believe that of yourself? You believe you're a sinner? Do you believe that? We are all as an unclean thing. All as an unclean thing. And our righteousnesses, the best we do, filthy rags. Go home and look that up in the concordance. Not proper to mention what that is in mixed company. Go home and look that up. That's what God sees, the stench and the odiousness of what we are. Now you choose you this day. That's what God says about us. You choose this day. You little ones and you young ones, choose you this day. You believe that of yourself? Has God opened your heart to see what we are? What we are by nature and what we are by practice? What we do, what we love to do? You believe that? Choose you this day. Choose you this day. Or whether it's what the world says about you. Oh, you may be sick. You may be lame a little bit on one leg, but you can help yourself. God says you're dead in trespasses and sin. Dead in trespasses and sin. Do we believe that? Well, you got to choose this day whether what God said is true about us or what's the world say about us. Choose you this day. God chose a people in eternity past. God chose a people. Not because we were better, smarter, more moral, have more wisdom, able to learn, just because He would. He set His affection on us individually before the world ever began. God chose a people. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, or do you believe God loves everybody, like the world says? And He wants to do something for you. Oh, if you'll just let Him. Oh, if you'll just let Him. If you'll just take the first step. If you'll just step out and do something for the Lord. If you'll just work. If you'll just tithe. If you'll just give up the picture show and drinking and smoking and watch your language, you know. No. 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 We can't do anything for God. Christ is who's done everything for God. Christ does. But He chose a people in eternity past. God did. You believe that? Or do you believe that He chose everybody? Choose you this day. Choose you this day. The Lord Jesus Christ, in time, He came down here and died for a particular people. You believe that, or do you believe He died for everybody? The whole world says He died for everybody. The whole world except those that God loved in eternity past. Those that He gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, Him being the surety of that everlasting covenant. And in time, the Lord Jesus Christ came down here and identified with us. Identified with us. And He walked this earth for 33 and a half years, and then He took our sin upon Himself and went to the tree and died in our room instead for a particular people, a called people, a chosen people, an elect people. Don't be afraid of those words. You believe that, or do you believe He came and died for everybody? And the choice then is up to you. Choose you this day, because it's rampant in our day. Error is rampant in our day. Just here and there in spatial places. How thankful we ought to be for this place that God has carved out here in this place a witness for His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. How thankful we ought to be. And I know you are. I know you are. Man's a sinner. Can't do anything for himself. God chose a people. Christ came and redeemed those people. Now you choose you this day, whether you believe that or you believe what the world's saying. The Spirit of God, irresistibly. Because you remember that story back there in the Old Testament. Saul had been killed and David had ascended the throne. And David had a bond, a close friendship and with a fellow named Jonathan, who was one of Saul's sons. And David ascended the throne. And back in those days, the vanquished king, everybody in the family was destroyed. That's just what they did. They killed everybody. They killed everybody. They deserved to be killed. You didn't want them growing up and raising up children that would be a problem in your realm. So you just destroyed everybody. And David assumed the throne. And he called that Ziba. And he said, "Is there any left of the household of Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? Is there any?" And he said, "Yeah, there's one over there in Lodibar. He ain't much. His name's Mephibosheth. He's lame on both legs. Lame from the fall. He's awful. Ugly. Unkept. No hope for him. No help for him." And David said, "Go fetch him. Go fetch him." And he went. That servant went. And he brought Mephibosheth. And David said, "You want to sit at my table all the days of your life. You think there's any chance?" This is the king speaking. He said, "You go fetch him." Any chance that servant goes over there? And Mephibosheth said, "I don't think I'm interested. I don't think I'm going to answer that call. I don't think I'm coming. Maybe I'll come at a more convenient time, you know." This is the king. The authority of the king has spoken. Go get that one right there. That one there. Go get it. And the Spirit goes and He irresistibly calls. And God's people are willing in the day of His power. And they're made alive. They're given the new life. They're given the Spirit of God Almighty in them. They walk different. They talk different. They act different. Got a different master. One ruling over them. Spirit irresistibly calls. You believe that? Choose you this day. Whether that's what you believe or the Spirit calls everybody. And the difference is made by what you decide to do. Choose you this day. Choose you this day. And finally, all the elect, all those sinners that have no hope and help all those that God loved in eternity past, and all those that He gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those that the Lord Jesus Christ died for, and all those that the Spirit of God crosses their path, attending by the preaching of the gospel, all those that are called, they will persevere. They will persevere. They're kept. We're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. There's no chance of any of us falling. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, I think it says, it's worth repeating, as for me and my house, those that I've got any control over, those that I've got any influence over, those that will listen to me, and I can talk to them, and they're interested, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. I think that's the most pertinent message for our day. Choose you this day. Keep that in mind. Think about it. Think about it as you hear your pastor tell of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He who I believe? He's done everything according to the will of God, according to the purpose of God. He's called me irresistibly. If you do choose, if you have chosen, you can be sure of this. It's because He chose you first in eternity past. All right.